You're listening to World Oil's Deep Dive, where you'll get to know the authors of technical articles in World Oil magazine and learn more about their company's technology and how it's shaping our industry. Now, here's your host, Jim Watkins.
All right, we're here today with Reza Rastegar and William Tate, who are both product line champions for completion technologies at NOV. And we're here to talk about their article in the July 2019 issue of World Oil on page 63. It's called Friction Reducing Flotation Collar, Optimal Placement Increases Efficiency Running Casing in Long Laterals. That's a long title. That's a very long title. So, but we're going to get into that. But before we do, let's talk with Reza and William about how they came to be at NOV, their educational background. William, let's start with you. What is your background and how'd you end up at NOV?
Yeah. So my background is in mechanical engineering. I went to the University of Calgary for my degree in mechanical engineering. From there, I went in kind of a circular path for a bit, and I was in forensic engineering for a bit, and then I did some HVAC, and then finally some facilities before I ended up with the group that we're in now with completion, originally with Trican Completion Solutions. And then we were acquired by NOV in 2016, which ended up being an excellent move for us. It's been pretty phenomenal from a growth and like personal and company growth perspective. So I've been really excited, really fortunate to be exposed to some really cool technology, and we're here to talk about one of them today.
Excellent. And how about you, Reza? How did you get here?
So I graduated with the petroleum engineering from University of Louisiana, bachelor and master's, and then I started with a company in designing pressure pumping equipment. And then after that, I joined a startup at the time was iTech, which was then acquired by Trican in 2013 and then acquired by NOV in 2016. And then since then, I've been focused on multi-stage frac product line. And now currently I'm looking after the basically global product line champion, looking after the global project.
Well, this is an interesting technology that you both came to. I find it fascinating, too, that you both came via Trican, right, the NOV. But this technology is very interesting. I think anybody who listens to the podcast knows I'm not a technical person, so I thought this was a genius idea. And we were talking a little bit beforehand, and Reza was saying, oh, yeah, this has been around for a while, that there's been different ways to do it. But what the difference in this technology is quite interesting. But basically what we're talking about is installing a barrier in the casing so that you trap air in the casing. So when you're pushing it down through the fluids in the horizontal part, it's buoyant. And so it's an amazing thing. And it keeps you from having to rotate casing and other things, right, Reza?
Yes. I actually invite you all one step back, that why even this technology came to exist. And then when you look at it from 2010 till now, the oil production increased from 6 million barrel per day to nearly past 11 million barrel per day now. And then that kind of motivated the operators to drill longer lateral, because once the cost of a drilling is pretty high. So when you're in a well, it makes more sense to drill further instead of having to go and lease another part of the land and then start drilling over. So that was the reason that basically motivated operator to drill further. But it comes with challenges such as high friction in the lateral section, or how to get the casing all the way down to the target depth. And one of the solutions that came to help these challenges was the use of buoyancy. Basically, you trap air inside the pipe and then it helps it to get to the target depth better.
And so is this used on all long laterals, or is it a sometimes thing? I mean, I know you talk about it a little bit later on in the article, how to qualify whether it is actually a good technology for a given hole. But give me a rough idea, Reza. What percentage of holes will use this? 50%, 25%?
It really depends. The rule of thumb is if the lateral section is longer than the vertical section, you have to run one of those, or you're going to face some challenges and you have to rotate the casing or account for higher connections to be able to actually run the casing all the way down.
Ah, okay. So that sheds some light on the ratio we talk about later on in the article.
Yes.
So, all right. Well, then explain to us then a little bit about how this particular technology developed, Reza, as opposed to what was used in the past.
So in the past, they used plugs. So basically you run certain length of casing, let's say 10,000 foot, 10,000 feet of casing, and then you set a plug, and then you complete the rest of the casing. Then you have to go and retrieve that plug, either drill it or unset it and remove it to be able to circulate and do the cement job.
And that costs time and money, right? Because you get to do wire line down there, get it out, or you know, drill it out or something, right?
Yeah, you have some sort of well intervention.
Yeah.
Not necessarily the wire line, but you have to intervene.
Right.
And then that's costly. The next step was using ceramic barriers. But the problem with ceramic, when you shatter them, they come into large pieces. And then if one of those pieces gets down the well and basically causes malfunction in the shoe or collar, then you have an open well. Mm-hmm. You can never close. So that was the challenge with the... Then they put some debris catchers, which comes with extra cost or more well planning. Then the next generation was using a glass barrier. The benefit or advantage of glasses are when they shatter to small pieces. And it's like, and then you can pump them into formation, like pumping proppant into formation.
Ah, so it's like a safety glass, like when you shatter a windshield or something, it comes in those little pieces. Yeah. And then
they shatter to very fine pieces, almost powder.
Wow. Interesting. That is interesting. So as we go through this, this article starts on page 63. And so it talks a little bit about the technology, but then it talks about the placement methodology, which we touched on just a few minutes ago. But I thought it was quite interesting because of this ratio you talk about, right? And so, Reza, can you explain to us a little bit about the ratio? So it has to be long as it is deep, basically.
You're correct.
Yeah.
If the lateral section is longer than the vertical section, you have to run one of these tools. And right. Then the question is where? When you do these long laterals, you have challenges like high friction in the horizontal section. And then because of that, then you have to put more force into the vertical section that essentially causes buckling in mm-hmm. the pipe. So you have high friction, you have buckling. And then one of the solutions is to put heavier connections or rotate the casing. But not all casing are suited or designed for rotation. So you run one of these tools, basically. Then you have the frictional force in the horizontal section, and then the vertical, you have the gravity force.
Mm-hmm.
So there are two forces that acting against each other. And then there is a balance point where there's a neutral point where you basically put this tool that helps your gravitational force to be higher than the frictional force to essentially run the casing down.
Ah, okay. And that's the ratio. That's what we're talking
about.
And
we model that. We have a software that we use, and we put the well survey in the, and then put all the casing parameters, all the forces, and then we'll run different models, different scenarios, and we'll tell you which one is the optimum placement, which will give you the highest hook load.
Right. Now tell me something, because I didn't see it. You see on page 63, for people who are following along, there's an image there, figure one, and it actually shows the piece of glass that goes inside. But is that all it is? I mean, is it you just slide somehow?
It. As simple as it looks, just a piece of glass entrapped inside a pipe, a heavy pipe, and that pipe is part of the casing. You buck it, you thread it in.
That was my question. Yeah. Oh, okay. So it's just a special
sub. Okay. That you run it threaded in part of the casing. And then once the casing gets to the target depth, you increase the pressure at surface and rupture the disc. And then the shattered glasses gets pumped down to the formation. And then you have the circulation is basically established for cement job.
Exactly. So now, William, the next part of the article takes us through some case studies. So can you tell us about those?
So pretty much what we tried to do was kind of showcase some really good examples of wells that we've seen some really great success with. And so the first case study we're talking about in Pennsylvania, and this is actually a pretty common thing now in the industry. So we're doing longer wells, but we're also doing many wells on the same time. So what that is actually causing is, you can imagine, a lease isn't what you want your ideal well spacing down hole to be. So when you drill vertically, you're too close to the next well next to you. So you have to kick out in kind of a different angle. And this is actually making the problem worse for running casing in, right? You're creating more contact with the walls of your well. You're causing a very complicated geometry to compound your friction problems, right?
Right.
So basically what's going on there is, not only are you having these long laterals where you have these ratios to consider, but you're also having complex geometry. So we talk a bit in the article about requiring a deviation survey, and that's a big part of it, right? It's determining where your tight spots are going to be in your well and how much friction that's going to contribute. So when you use the flotation collar, it actually, the reduction in friction makes it a lot easier to make it through those complex geometries that we're drilling nowadays. So the Pennsylvania is an example of one where we had to go vertical and then kick out and then back around to do. So it's not like a traditional, what the metaphor is usually, it's like a heel toe well where you have just kind of one turn in through the build into the horizontal.
Right.
Yeah. So we've got some efficiencies on that. And then we had some examples in the Montney where we deployed our flotation collar, saving a tremendous amount of time. Same kind of idea. This particular example where we're talking about saving 35 hours of running in was in a well, again, where they're on a large pad. I think it was a 10-well pad. And again, geometries were the concern, as well as the hole size. Comparatively, the hole that they were drilling was much, much larger than the casing. And that creates an interesting buckling scenario where you have the casing kind of doing these complex buckling, these helical buckling in the well, and which makes your friction factor much worse as well. So we were really excited about that one because we did one well without flotation collar, and they had not a very exciting time running that in. And then they went and they put a flotation collar in, saved all this time. It was much, much easier for the rig, saved them a ton of rig time and money, which we were very excited about.
Yeah. Now, William, talk a little bit more about that, because I mean, there's no specific numbers called out, but when we're talking about savings, you know, I guess there's a lot of different areas where you can pick up savings by using this, right? Like in that example you just gave. Can you run through those? Because, I mean, you have the drilling time, you know, you have the quality of the pipe you have to use, the connectors, all connections, all of that stuff, right?
Yeah, you bet. So, like I was alluding to just now, the rig time for running in hole is a huge improvement. A lot of guys are using this in wells that don't necessarily require it now to make it bottom because they can come in more efficiently. So that efficiency that they gain is worthwhile just from that perspective. And then the article also alludes to, and I'm sure Reza already covered this, related to premium connections and premium casings. Typically, when you have to rotate, you don't want to be using standard API connections related to them over tightening or causing damage to the casing itself or the collars. So with a URFC, if you're running in, you can run in without rotating because you've got all the buoyancy effect. And you're not worried about getting stuck or needing to break that friction. And you'll make it to target depth without having any issues with rotating or having a requirement to use those more expensive casings.
Right, exactly. So that's a big savings there, then, yeah.
Yeah, you get cost savings from the time and as well as potentially from using less expensive pipe.
All right. And so also, William, then the article goes on page 65 to talk about analysis, a quick way to figure out if you should look at using this technology, right? And so,
yeah,
so can you go over that a little bit?
Yeah, you betcha. So we went and looked back on some of the wells that we had done. So we went through it. I think it was 59 wells that we did, about half and half, U.S. and Canada, different areas in both. We were kind of looking at if there was any kind of pattern that you could draw between wells that required or ones that we were just recommending that they run for efficiency. And trying to look at is there a certain case where that ratio of target depth versus vertical depth or open hole size versus running and casing OD, if that showed anything as far as like a quick rule of thumb. So the idea behind that is like a lot of larger operators have their own torque and drag software, but it's the juniors and the intermediates that potentially could really benefit from this type of quick analysis, rule of thumb analysis. So then they have an opportunity to kind of look at their program, determine, you know, these ratios, and if they can use this, then they can engage us or engage someone to do torque and drag on their behalf.
Right, exactly. So it's just a rule of thumb, like you said, a quick way, and then you can look into it even more after that. So just reiterating what you had just said is that you have that rule of thumb. You can look at that and say, hey, maybe we need to talk to somebody about, you know, helping us with torque and drag, right?
Yeah, just a good indicator for those smaller companies that maybe don't have access to torque and drag software.
Right, exactly. All right. And so that brings us to the end of the article. But William, I'll let you go first. What's the takeaway? You know, for anybody reading this article, right, who's maybe they're interested in this technology, is there one takeaway that you want them to have?
I would say from my perspective, this is a really exciting technology because, like, there is a lot of benefits that our clients see from a cost and efficiency standpoint. I really think that it can allow us to push the industry further as far as the lengths of the laterals going forward. We're starting to see operators really demand that long lateral. They're trying to increase efficiency for their drilling programs. So I think this is one way that you can get there without having to really push the limits on your casing design and potentially cost a lot of extra money.
Yeah, that's fascinating because that's something, I mean, even before we started recording, I didn't talk with Reza about or anything, was that, yeah, I mean, this is one of the keys to much longer laterals, right? I mean, because the only thing that's stopping people from doing it now is the metallurgy and the connections, right? But you throw this in, you know, on top of some premium connections and stuff, who knows what you can do, right? How far some good thickness pipe, you can probably put that out there pretty far, right? William, have you guys run anything, any tests on that? Like theoretical tests of how far you could get?
Not really, like because it is so geometry specific. We would want to work with someone to get us like a candidate well where they're looking at it. We work in meters here, so this is probably not going to make a lot of sense for people. But like we just worked on a 7,500 meter measured depth well, which was really exciting for us.
Excellent. And so, Reza, same question to you. Is there anything, you know, from somebody reading this article and discovering this technology maybe for the first time, what's the important takeaway?
Well, it helps. I mean, as William mentioned, some of the companies, they actually see the potential from this tool and they extended their drilling and completion program. They're accounting for a longer lateral because with this tool, it's possible. And some of them, they just included because of the saving that they get within the operations. Like wow. With the cost of rigs per day, let's say in West Texas, I don't want to mention numbers, but I mean, probably for a half a day saving, it will pay for the tool.
Really?
It pays for this technology.
Wow.
So some of the operators, they include that because, I mean, it helps them. And then some of them, they use it to drill further and to complete further.
Wow.
And we have run so many of them, I guess, we're in the thousands now with a very high success factor, more than 95-96%. And we include this whole analytical service with the tool. So if somebody buy this technology from us, all these calculations, all these supports will be done and packaged and delivered to them as part of the service.
Yeah, so you don't just bring a glass barrier out to them and say, here you go, have at it. You help them with it.
We help them with the technology. We educate them. We teach them the potentials. And we give them the whole package, the whole support from A to Z.
Excellent.
From the tool delivery all the way to support and to even help them expand their drilling and completion programs.
Yeah. Now, that's interesting. And next time I hear a story about a new longest lateral somewhere, that's one of the questions I'm going to have in the back of my head is, did they use this technology, right? And so I'll give you a call and you could tell me. Well, Reza and William, thanks a lot for joining us here today on World Oil Deep Dive. And yeah, we look forward to having you back, you know, when we get some news on those long, super long laterals that this is going to enable.
Well, thank you. We certainly appreciate you for the opportunity and the time and for putting this together.
All right. Thanks a lot. Talk to you guys later.
Thanks for listening. Take a look at today's show notes for links we mentioned in the podcast. We enjoy your feedback. So if you have any questions or comments, email them to deepdive@worldoil.com. Check out worldoil.com for the best oil and gas industry technical articles and news. And join us next time for another Deep Dive with World Oil.